All right, what's going on, everybody? It is Monday, the 12th of June, and it is good to be back in the studio with you guys. And I want to welcome everybody to the broadcast. This is End Time Headlines. We welcome you. We want to welcome all of our new guests. And for you guys that are regular viewers, welcome back. We call you guys family by now. And if you're new to the broadcast, let us know where you guys are joining us from in the comment section below. And again, preference that you are new. We'd love to hear that and hear from you as well in the comment section. So tonight I want to talk to you about a message that I did a little devotional on, but we're going to put this into a podcast form. Before we get started, I want to encourage you, if you've not downloaded our free app, please do that today. It's available on Apple and Google stores, the Apple Store and the Google Play Store. If you're listening to this and not seeing the visual of this, if you'll just type in End Time Headlines, look for our official ETH logo, download our free app, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be ready to go with every podcast, every viewpoint segment, every devotional, and every headline that we release on a week-to-week basis. And this is how you'll be able to keep up with our ministry. So we hope that you do that today. So I want to talk about, for the next few moments, I want to talk about the thing that Paul warned that many in the church would deny. I'm going to say that again. This thing that we're going to talk about today is the very thing that Paul warned about in the last days that many in the body of Christ who call themselves believers, identify as Christians, they will deny this one thing. And he said, if you see these individuals denying this, then we are to run from them. We are to have no fellowship with them and flee from it. So what is this one thing that we're talking about? Well, we want to go to our opening passage of scripture where you can find the context of what we're talking about. And that's going to be in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. So if you guys would like to follow along with me, I'm going to pull this right up here. This is from the New King James Version. I'm going to read this. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy in his letter to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And he tells us that in the opening passage is this, that in the last days, we would see perilous times. Again, that phrase perilous times mean it will be distressful, dangerous times that we will see in the last days. And he talks about all these things he lists here. Now, I don't want to exhaust a lot of time going over all these things, but I want to go down here to verse 5 because this is where we're homing in on. He says in verse 5, in the last days, we will see individuals that will have a form of godliness, but they will deny its power. Let me say that again. They will have a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So Paul is expressing here the urgency that we are to be on the watch for, to observe, and to be aware of individuals and be a guard against individuals in the body of Christ who will profess to be Christians. They'll call themselves believers. They will be people in your church. They will look religious. They will talk religious. They will act religious. They'll dress religious. They'll have a Bible under their arm. They will be able to quote scriptures. But when we look into this, the Bible says that Paul warned that they would deny its power, form of godliness, but deny its power. So what is Paul referring to here when he is saying it's its power? In order to understand fully what Paul is referring to here, we will have to go back and look at the original Greek language. Because again, the New Testament was written in Greek. And here lies a big problem in the body of Christ. And I've said this many times, is individuals will just open the Bible and they'll read it from a Western perspective or the modern English translations instead of going back to the original Hebrew in the Old Testament and portions of it in Aramaic. And in the New Testament, it was written in Greek. So the Greek word here for the word power, they will deny its power, is the word dunamis. Now, this word dunamis in Greek is found in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, What does that say, Brother Ricky? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says this. This is Christ speaking. He said, you shall receive power after that, that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. There's that word power there is dunamis. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and all of Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So he says here, this, you shall receive dunamis. This power will enable you to be witnesses unto the Lord throughout all the regions. The Greek word here means strength, power, or ability. It's actually the root word of our English word where we get the word dynamite or dynamo or and even dynamic. Let me say that again. In the root word of our English translation of this, it's where we get the words dynamite, dynamo, and dynamic. So when we put this together, Paul is literally saying here that you shall receive, or Christ is saying you shall receive dynamite or explosive power after that you have received the Holy Spirit, which will enable you and empower you and equip you to be witnesses for the Lord unto all the world, starting in your region, in your city, and in your location of where you live. This same Greek word, dunamis, is also found in other passages, such as when Jesus healed a woman with an issue of blood. Afterward, he said in Mark chapter 5, verse 30, after he healed her, the Bible says that power came out of him, dunamis. And the Bible says, and immediately knowing in himself that power, dunamis, had gone out of him, he turned around to the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? As we can see here, this dunamis, explosive, dynamite power resided in Christ, and it enabled him to cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, and do these mighty works and miracles that Christ performed in the earth. And it was through the Holy Spirit who baptized Christ at the River Jordan. Now, here's where this is where a lot of believers stop. They stop right there. But after Christ was raised from the dead, he commissioned us as believers to take this gospel of the kingdom throughout all the earth and not only do what he did in his flesh body, but he said in John 14:12, most assuredly I say unto you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Let me give you a little more detail on this. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 16. I'll pull this up on the screen here. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. What are those signs, Brother Ricky? In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now look, the people that Paul is speaking of here in 2 Timothy that are denying the power of the Holy Ghost are the same people who want you to completely forget this passage in Mark 16. They want you to ignore it. They want you to remove it. They want you to completely sweep it under the rug because they will teach, believe, and affirm to you that we as believers today cannot do the works of Christ. We cannot cast out devils. We cannot heal the sick. We cannot lay hands on those that are sick. We cannot raise the dead. We cannot speak in new tongues. We cannot be bitten by deadly serpents and God supernaturally protect us. They will insist to you that the power of the Holy Spirit is no longer available to the believer today. They will deny. Are you hearing me? The dunamis. The dynamite, dynamic, explosive power of the Holy Spirit that reside in Jesus was given to the early church and is still available to believers today. And folks, listen, and I, you know, it gets exhausting having to constantly, you know, repeat this and revisit this consistently, but we understand we get new believers on here. We get new converts. We get new followers of our ministry. So you're going to hear us. We teach things repetitively and continually because again, you can't just teach one thing 10 years ago and expect everybody to understand that. So again, there is a group of individuals out there that call themselves cessationist. Which again, this is a theological belief within certain branches of Christianity, particularly in Reformed theologists, Calvinists, as well as many Baptist denominations, that holds to this belief that certain spiritual gifts, particularly the miraculous gifts, go figure, right? Mentioned in the New Testament, such as prophecy, healing, speaking in tongues, and others have ceased from being in the normative after the apostolic age. They believe that these gifts, these supernatural gifts, have ceased in operation in the fourth century. But guys, again, if you go into scripture, you'll discover there have been numerous historical moves of God. There's been awakenings and moves of God where all these gifts have continually been in full demonstration. For example, the first great awakening in the 1730s and 1740s, where God swept through American colonies. You had preachers like Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield, Gilbert Tennant. All these emphasized the personal conversion, repentance, and experiences of faith. And these gifts and these supernatural experiences were seen within these movements. As a result of this, literally thousands of conversions had a lasting impact on American religious life, fostering the growth of evangelicalism. These gifts were not only seen, manifested, but they were in full operation during this time. Then, even in the Second Great Awakening, in the early 19th century, you had Charles Finney, who most people know who that is, who was influential in leading large-scale evangelical campaigns, and the movement contributed to the rise of new denominations, missionary work, and social justice causes such as abolitionism and temperance. The power of the Holy Spirit was also demonstrated at that time as well. Then there was the Welsh Revival. That was in 1904, 1905. There was a powerful Christian awakening that originated in Wales, but it had an impact far beyond its borders. This was led and spearheaded by the likes of Evan Roberts, and you had Charles Wesley, John Wesley, who all these emphasized personal holiness, prayer, and repentance. Thousands, literally thousands of people experienced profound spiritual transformations, resulting in increased church attendance. There was also the Azusa Street Revival of 1906, 1909. Now again, these cessationists want you to completely forget about that movement. They want to demonize it. They want it ripped out of the pages of history. This was a movement that was actually birthed in Los Angeles, California, of all places, under the leadership of William J. Seymour. The revival emphasized the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and operation of the spiritual gifts. Thus, why they want you to completely ignore it or remove it. It played a crucial role in spreading the Pentecostal movement worldwide. And again, you're going to find this out. This is why, the reason why we're teaching this and equipping you guys with this information, this knowledge, is so when you see these comments on Facebook and different social media platforms, the people who demonize anybody or any denomination or any organization that believes in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, again, speaking in tongues, casting out devils, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, miracles, healing, signs, wonders, they will quickly demonize it. They will say it's of the devil or it's completely emotionalism and flesh because, again, it doesn't fit in their denominational box that they're trying to put God in, where in which, again, they deny the very power of the Holy Spirit. And we've pointed this out before many times in the past. These individuals refer to these as the gifts of the apostles when this term is nowhere in Scripture. Nowhere. Nowhere in the Scriptures will you find the term gifts of the apostles, but you will find gifts of the Spirit there. Because again, the apostles of the early church have died, but the gifts are still in operation. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts, is alive and well today and operating in the church. Hallelujah. And again, Joel chapter 2 tells us this. Acts chapter 2 tells us this. The Bible says he's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, sons, daughters, old men, young men, women, and men alike, that God will pour his Spirit out upon them. They will prophesy. They will have dreams. They will have visions. And again, these are other passages that these people don't want you to know. Now, I want to show you something here in Acts chapter 2. This is Peter speaking up. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was poured out in the upper room on the early church. And in verse 38, so all these men are there. They're all Jews, by the way. And they're saying, what is this? What's going on? Some said they were drunk. They thought they were drunk. They were drunk with all this just chaos. They didn't understand what was going on because they'd never seen anything like this. So Peter stands up, verse 38. Before verse 38, he says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he tells them that this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the promise of the Father that he said would come upon them, upon your sons and daughters. But then he goes down to verse 38 because they're saying, well, what must we do? Because they were pricked to the heart, verse 37. And then verse 38, Peter says to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive, here it is, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now look what he says here. For the promise is to you, that was them present, and to your children, that would be the next generation. But look, watch this. It didn't end in the fourth century, guys. Look what he says. And to all who are afar off. You go look this up in the Greek, and it means to perpetual generations. Again, I got to emphasize this. Peter says this gift is for us today. It is for your children, which is the next generation. And it's for those who are all afar off, as many. What does it say there? As the Lord our God will call. In other words, it would go on beyond Peter's generation and the generation after him, and it would even cross boundaries of the Jews and would even go into the Gentiles. Hello, Cornelius, Acts chapter 10. And fast forward, and we come to today, and Jesus said, oh, come on, somebody. He said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? What I'm trying to say to you today is, you could choose to listen to all the negativity and to the naysayers and to the doubters and to the unbelief that tries to tell you that this gift's not available today. It's been done away with. It's of Satan, whatever. You can believe in all that stuff. Or you can believe that this gift is readily available for you and me at this very moment. And that the same faith that it took to receive Christ through salvation is the same faith it takes to receive the promise of the Father. Jesus said, so I say to you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. He says, for everyone who asks receives, and he that seek finds, and he that knocks, the door shall be opened unto him. My friends, I'm here to tell you today that if you are a believer. You have repented of your sins. You put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are sealed. Now, again, there's whole denominations that will teach you what I'm telling you about. You received upon salvation, but that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm not talking about the sealing of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yes, when you receive Christ, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise unto the day of redemption. But there is an endowment. There is a dunamis power. Listen, Jesus was baptized in the Holy Ghost in the Jordan River. And immediately after he was baptized, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. So again, this is a picture for us as believers. We are to follow in his footsteps. Why did Jesus need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? After all, he was the Son of Man. He was the Son of God. Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis power, is what empowered him to do what he did after he led the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Not only did it empower him to do the miraculous, but it also empowered him to get victory over the temptations of the enemy. And Jesus said, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and quickens your mortal body. So again, you go to Acts chapter 1, and Jesus commanded them to go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem and wait for the promise. Now again, they were already saved. They didn't need to go to the upper room, Acts chapter 2, and wait till the fullness of Pentecost comes so that they could be saved. They were already saved. Their names were already in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoice not that you have authority over devils and demons, but rejoice that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. This was before Acts chapter 2. Remember when he raised from the dead, he went into the house in which they locked the doors. He revealed himself as the risen Messiah. And the Bible says they believed on him. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's when they were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But then he tells them, go ye into the city of Jerusalem and tarry in the upper room and wait for the promise of my Father. What is this promise, Brother Ricky? It is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis power. And listen to me, if the early church needed it, if Jesus needed it, then you and I need this power in order to get victory on earth and do the works of Christ, because he said, the same works I do, you shall do, and greater works shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So listen, if you're watching today, you're listening today, and you say, Brother Ricky, I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. I can say with assurance that I am saved. But you're hearing me today, and you don't know if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or you know that you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Then today, I want to pray for you. And I believe as you lift up your hands right where you're at, right where you're listening, I believe this, again, the same Holy Spirit that was experienced in Acts chapter 2 is the same Holy Spirit that can invade your room, invade your office, invade your vehicle, invade your space right where you're at, right where you're listening. Come on, just, if that's you today and you say, I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm believing for it. I want you to lift up your hands. I'm going to pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, based upon your word, not my opinion, but your word, not my theology, but your word. You said that if any man ask, it shall be given to him. You said the Holy Spirit shall be given to those who ask. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So Father, I pray that you see those that are watching today, those that are listening today, those that have their hands lifted, those that are in a posture to receive. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that even now they would begin to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit as they begin to pray. Come on, you got to open your mouth and begin to ask him. Begin to open your mouth and begin to ask the Father. Father. Father, I receive the promise of the Father. I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in which you have promised to me. You said, if I ask, I shall receive. If I seek, I shall find. If I knock, the door shall be open. You said, if I ask anything according to your will, it shall be done. And Lord, you said, according to your word, that Lord, you commanded me to receive this, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, so that I can walk in victory, walk in power, and walk in the authority that you've called me to walk in. So I receive it today by faith. Come on, just open your mouth, begin to pray. Pray. You can't recite and repeat something after me. You got to pray from your own heart. Begin to ask the Lord for it. Begin to receive it today. Father, I pray that you begin to baptize people in the Holy Ghost in power right now, right where they're at, right now in Jesus' name, right in those living rooms, right in those offices, right in those that kitchen and that vehicle and that park and that, and where they're at, where they're ready, where they're able to receive. I pray that they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, Lord, in Jesus' name, that they can live in victory, that they can walk in victory, that they can resist temptation, that they can, Lord, walk in the same authority and power and see these signs, wonders, and miracles according to Mark 16 that you said would follow those who believe, that Lord, they would begin to see these things, Lord. So, and ultimately that you can empower them to begin to witness in all their regions and wherever they're at. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you that you're filling people up now with the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that people is going to receive this today. I thank you that they're walking in a new level with you today, Lord, as they receive this word by faith. And it's in Jesus' name. All God's people said amen and amen. Listen, guys, I pray that somebody watching today got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Listen, I want to close this message real quick by saying this one last thing that I want to preface this. Remember, Paul warned in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, if you see individuals that have a form of godliness, but they deny the very power of the Holy Spirit that we've talked about tonight. He said, from such people, turn away. You need to turn them off, delete them from your playlist, get out of the churches, whatever relationship you have with them or however you're receiving from these individuals. You need to cut that off right now, because I'm going to tell you something. If you begin to embrace this kind of doctrine, then you know what you're going to become? A religious Pharisee. You'll be able to quote scripture. You'll be able to do all this stuff. You'll look the part, talk the part, act the part, but you will have no power to be able to walk in freedom, to see people set free. People will be sick around you or your own body, and you will not be able to see God's hand move. Because you're denying the very power of the Holy Spirit. You will have much more difficulty witnessing the gospel, because these signs will follow those that believe. Come on, how many would love to go to your workplace and see one of your coworkers sick in their body or hurt? And not only can you witness the gospel to them, but you can lay hands on them and watch God heal them. Come on. How many believe that that would open the eyes of their understanding, and they would probably be more likely to listen to what you got to say and probably receive Christ? Why? Because again, these signs are not for show and tell and to demonstrate you. They are to show off God and demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit that is alive and well and in operation today in the earth and in and through the church. Come on, do you receive this today? So I want you to receive this today. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, we have an app. We want you to download it. It's available on Apple and Android. Get it today. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be ready to go. Also, if you'd like to support this ministry, you appreciate this ministry, it's a blessing to you, encourages you, it equips you, it informs you on a week-to-week basis. There's two different ways you can give. You can give electronically, which is through the app. And it's the easiest way to do it. Go down to the bottom where it says donate, click there and donate. Or again, if you do, if you don't have the app yet, just go to the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. And by the way, if you're listening to this by Rumble, by Facebook Live, by YouTube, and by the main website, right there where it says support this ministry, there's a link. You just click on that link. That's an easy way to go right there electronically and do it. Or you can get by check or money order, and you can make that at the End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, that's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So as always, guys, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out. This is on a Monday, June 12th. And we're going to be back here tomorrow on the 13th of Tuesday, and we'll have another great podcast and another great message for you then. So until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, that like button, and those push notifications. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.